Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody here. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 2. And you can stay seated today because we've got a lot of verses to read here. So Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Today I'm preaching on whom do you seek? Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, we're so thankful for the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Father, today I pray that our heart's goal, our life's desire will be to focus on Jesus, to seek him with all of our hearts and our lives and our gifts and talents. And Father, we pray, dear God, that you will pour out your Spirit upon us, that God, you will strengthen us, Father, in these days ahead. Because, Father, I know some of us, Lord, have been going through hard and difficult times lately. But I know, Father, when we seek you, Lord, you give us a peace that passes all understanding. And we thank you, Father. And as I preach this message, let every word come from you, Lord God, through your Holy Spirit. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. During the Christmas season, we have a lot of reminders that Christmas time is near. We hear Christmas songs being played like it's the most wonderful time of the year. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Nat King Cole singing chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jingle bells or walking in a winter land. They all communicate that Christmas time is a joyous season and a trouble-free time. But let me ask you honestly this morning, is that what you are experiencing. Are you experiencing a joyous season in your life? For a lot of us, we're not. There are a lot of people today that are not. There are so many things, personal problems, trials, strifes, tribulations, heartaches, death. There's a lot of things going on that are keeping people from experiencing the joy of this Christmas season. For other people, one person crisis after another has you feeling run over and run down. With such an avalanche of problems, it is hard to have a holly jolly Christmas. Now, I'm not saying all that this morning to bring you a doom and gloom message. That's not what I'm saying, so I just want you to know that. There's so many people that are busy, that are working hard, and they don't have time to sit around a fire roasting chestnuts. They get so busy with everything else in life that they forget to reflect on the real joy and the real truth of Christmas. What can you do this Christmas to avoid this kind of disillusionment? How can you improve your level of joy this Christmas? Well, we find it in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men who had come from the east were seeking the Christ child. Now, here's where I want to bring all this together. Yes, there are a lot of people that are having hard times right now today. They're experiencing things, going through stuff that you and I maybe not even aren't aware of, or things we've never dealt with. Last Sunday night, went uptown to Marion. They were having the lights, the Festival of Lights parade in Marion. And I'm telling you what, people turned out by the throngs. There were people lined up and down the streets. It was cold outside. People were bundled up, sitting in chairs. And I saw people happy and rejoicing. And where we were sitting in our car, we were not far from the Promise homeless mission. We were just basically really a rock's throw away from the door. And as we backed up our car after the parade was over to leave, we turned the car around. We're heading out that back way. And I look over against a guardrail, and a young man out in the cold had set up his camp for the night. Out in this cold environment in a parking lot. And I looked over at Janine and I said, I sure wish that people didn't have to spend their Christmases like this. And it put a burden on my heart for these kind of people that are experiencing this type of life during this Christmas season. But then it was then as we pulled away that I started to realize that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus every day of the year, even through these difficult times. And that's exactly what the wise men were doing. They had come from the east. They saw the star in the sky that was telling about the birth of Jesus, but they came to Herod, and Herod, as you know, he was a jealous king. He didn't want any babies born because he was afraid of losing his own place as the king. So he was tricking the wise men by telling them, I want you to go find out where the Christ child is and then come back and tell me so that I may go and worship him, all the while lying through his teeth and what he was saying. But the wise men were excited because they were about to find the baby Jesus they had heard about. They were about to find the true king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. And the wise men journeyed through the night following the star. And then the Bible says that the star stopped at the place where Jesus laid, and the star shone down where he was. And the wise men came and they entered the place where Jesus laid. And the Bible says that they fell down to worship him. And they brought with them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought him the finest gifts. They had found the one that was going to be the Savior of the world. And as they fell down and worshiped him, they were filled with a joy that you can't find anywhere else. And even though people are going to go through hard times right now, there's one thing that we have to do to overcome. We have got to seek the Lord Jesus, and we have to seek him with all of our hearts, with all of our lives. And there are three lessons that we will learn from this story today. And the first is, what do you seek? Your level of joy at Christmas time is directly related to what you seek after. Basically, what is it that I want to get out of Christmas? This Christmas season, now Janine asked me a few weeks ago, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, nothing. I don't want anything, really. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I used to have a Christmas list that you could have probably started from the back of this church and rolled it down that sidewalk. And my dad used to say, now, son, I can't get you everything on that long list, so you put down a few things you'd really like. And then on Christmas morning, man, I was excited and happy to see the things under the tree, but I didn't really understand the true meaning and the importance of that day. I didn't understand that I needed to be thankful for the ones that were around the tree that morning in our house. All I knew is I wanted my toys. I didn't want clothes and underwear and socks. I wanted toys and all the fun things. And I was a happy kid on Christmas morning. But you know what? After so much time, the joy of having those things started to wear off. And guess what? Those things eventually ended up in a toy box. And over time, they were forgotten about. And you know what Mom did? Mom went through and said, I want you to go through that toy box and get the things out of there you don't play with, because I'm going to get rid of them. I felt filled with shock at those times when Mom said she was going to get rid of my stuff. And then I'd get it back out and start playing with it again. But what I'm saying is, the things that we seek after Christmas, that's what makes the joy in our heart. Are you seeking after material possessions? Are you seeking after things of this world? Or is your heart set on the Lord? Because if we set our sights on Jesus, not only at Christmas, but every day of the year, our hearts will be filled with an exuberant joy. We will have a reason to celebrate. He gives us the reason to live. He gives us every reason to be happy. Now, I've told you, and I'm not going to go back. Every one of us goes through something, but we make a choice every day when we get up out of bed. We ought to determine that our lives will be like the wise men. We should be determined when we wake up and set our feet on the floor that we're going to look at what God has put before us, and we're going to thank him for it, and we're going to ask God to fill our hearts, to carry us through the day, and we should tell the Lord that we will commit our lives to him, that we will follow his ways and his commandments, and that we will look to him for our joy and strength. You can look everywhere else, and what you find is a temporary satisfaction, a temporary happiness, and then it eventually goes away. But what Jesus gives us is eternal and everlasting. I tell you what, with Jesus, it never grows old. Now, the other night, we went to go look at Christmas lights. How many of you have ever gone to Patty's Settlement down in Kentucky and looked at Christmas lights? Isn't it amazing? I mean, I was filled with happiness and wonderment at all the displays of lights and the kids' faces lit up as they ran around. And then when they were standing in line to go see Santa Claus, the joy on their... I tell you what, it was the greatest night. But when we went, we went and saw the Christmas show, a down-home country Christmas, and the center of the program was Jesus Christ. And they were singing songs in that presentation or that musical the other night. And I saw people in the crowd lifting their hands and worshiping and praising God. And that right there, that was the best feeling, because people know that Jesus is the reason. If Jesus had not been born, you and I would have no hope. We wouldn't have any reason to live, and there would be no real joy in our hearts. If you ask a lot of people what would make them happy this Christmas, a lot of people would say, well, I wish it would snow a lot. I wish it would get cold. I wish I could have all my family around. I wish that I could do great things. I wish I could bless them. You know, so many answers that we could get. But the greatest thing that we can seek after at Christmas time is Jesus. The Magi, or the wise men, showed us how to increase our level of joy at Christmas by looking for the right thing. They were looking for Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when they fell down to worship Him, we weren't there. The Bible doesn't say it, but I'm sure that there were tears of joy. The moment that you got saved and you found Jesus and made Him Lord of your life, I'm sure that many of you shed tears of joy. I'm sure there was a happiness and a peace that you had never felt before. So if we will seek after Jesus at Christmas time, if we will look to Him, we will have an experience of worship. We will get a fresh glimpse of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if we do this, then I highly doubt that you'd be dissatisfied. Because, yeah, I was kind of going through some sermons a while back, just looking to see what all I've preached, and I came across the outline that I wrote last year, The Gift That Wasn't Under the Tree. I preached that the Sunday before Christmas here last year. And when I think about that gift, that is the greatest gift I've ever received. It's a gift that nobody can come along and take away from me. It's a gift that never grows old. It's a gift that I can share with other people. And it's a gift that makes a difference in the lives of all of those around me. See, we've got the church decorated with some beautiful decorations we do. There's a pretty tree with lights, and there's poinsettias and candles, and it's very wonderful to look at. But friends, this is not Christmas. Christmas is Jesus Christ. Christmas is a King who was born in a manger, who humbled Himself, a mighty King, became a servant, and was born so that He could live and die for you and I. Secondly, where do you look? Your level of joy at Christmas is directly related where you're seeking. We learn from the wise men that there are many wrong and right places to look at Christmas time. They started by looking in the wrong place. Now see, the wise men, what they did, but they went to Herod, look, because they thought Jesus would be born there, because that's where a lot of babies were born, in Jerusalem. And so that's where the wise men went to. But see, Herod himself didn't even know. So they went to the wrong place looking for baby Jesus. But the star shined and it showed the way. They went by their own human reasoning is what they did. And that's what I want to point out. If we do everything by our own human reasoning, by our own understanding, we're going to go to the wrong places looking for the joy. The wise men went to where the king should be born. They went to the palace of Herod at the capital city of Jerusalem. When they realized what a mistake they had made, then they knew that they had to go and find the right way. They knew they had to look to the Lord. And the Lord showed them by the signs of the star where to go and travel. We are tempted to look for joy at Christmas time in the wrong places ourselves. We think by getting or giving the right kind of gift that we will be satisfied. How many of you have ever gone shopping for somebody and you want to buy them just the right thing because you want to make them happy? Really? You do? I've stood in the store many times over going, well, what do I buy Janine? What do I get her? What will I give her to make her really happy? And then I buy her something and I get it wrapped up. And then I think, well, I hope I wrapped it pretty enough. And I hope that the present looks good enough because I want her to be joyful of what she's getting. Well, then on Christmas morning, I'm sitting there full of nervous anticipation as she opens up her gifts. And you know what? Every time that she's opened up a gift and she's looked at it, if it was something that I didn't know that she was already wanting, she would basically tell me, well, that's not the color I like, or that, or maybe that's not the right size. She said, come, you should have come and asked me first. She wasn't being mean, but she would say, you should have come and asked me first what I wanted. Well, then I started to, as I listened to what she's saying, then I go buy her a gift that she wanted. And then when she opened up on Christmas morning, she had a lot of joy on her face. And this past Christmas, I bought her a coat. I didn't know that she'd even looked at it. But I went over to Kohl's, and I was looking for the perfect gift for her for Christmas morning. And I found that red and white, it was kind of a checkered square coat. And when I saw it, I thought, boy, that's a perfect thing right there. And I got it, bought it for her, took it home and wrapped it. And on Christmas Day, I couldn't wait for her to open it. It was almost killing me for her to open it. And we sat around, and I gave her the gift, and she opened it, and she burst into tears. And I said, what's the matter? Do you like it? And she said, I love it. She said, actually, I was looking at this coat just last week, wondering if I should buy it for myself. But she said, I just went ahead and skipped it. And she said, thank you for giving me this gift. So let me quit chasing the rabbit around the tree now. We can buy the right gift, but it will never satisfy the people that we give the gift to. But the one gift that we can easily give is we can tell others about Jesus. I started really being burdened in my heart for people this last few days. As we were down in Kentucky, I told Janine, I said, you know what, I pray that while we're on this little mini trip, I pray that we can witness to others about Jesus. I hope that we can share the love. And that's exactly what we got to do. We got to share the joy of the true Christmas season with other people. And you know, like it's almost like God put people right in our path the last few days. I was telling Larry and Patty and Effie this morning about we were sitting in the hotel lobby and we had prayed. God let us minister to people. And we saw three ladies and a little five-year-old girl come. And this little five-year-old girl come bouncing through the door. She had on Grinch pajamas. She was the cutest little thing, a ball of energy. And she had the little hood pulled up and that sweet little face. And she come bouncing through the door in that lobby and she saw us sitting there. And she says, hi, how are you guys? And we turn around and says, well, hello, how are you all doing? And the Lord just opened up a door and we started to share about Christmas season. It just happened. And we're talking with these ladies, and it seemed like everywhere we went that night, we left the hotel and went down Grand Rivers, and everywhere we went, we ran into them. And every time we saw them, that little girl's face was just lit up because she had been to see Santa Claus. She had seen the Grinch. She had gone and ate dinner, and she told us all about it. And we still got to share with the adult ladies what Christmas was really all about. And the very next morning, as I went down to breakfast at the hotel, I got down there in the lobby, and I normally don't look at people sitting back there eating. But all of a sudden, I heard somebody say, "There's my cowboy buddy. There's my cowboy." And there was that little girl sitting over along the wall, and her mom got up and came over to me, and she said, "I want to share this with you." She said, "She's been asking all morning, can we please go down early? Because I want to see my friend. I want to see my friend." And I say all that because when we share the love of Jesus with people, it makes a difference. And we formed a bond and new friendships that day. And they were telling us where they were from. They were inviting us at some point to come down to East Tennessee, where they live around Jackson and Henderson area. And they invited us. They said, "Sometime if you're not preaching on a Sunday, you're on a trip, come down and see us. We would love to see you again. And it's been such a joy getting to know you." And we shared the love of the Lord. So, if we look to Jesus, if we keep our eyes on Him, we're looking in the right places. Because when our eyes are on the Lord, God will show us what's all around us. God will show you the people who are in need, and God will also put it in your heart what they're longing for. The Magi looked in the right place when they went and looked to God, as I said a minute ago. They had to turn to God. The trip to Jerusalem was not a total loss. While they were there, they discovered that that's the first place they should have looked instead. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like what my wife says, "You should have asked me first instead of doing it your own way." I heard a fellow the other night said, "I married Mrs. Wright, but I didn't know her first name was Always." With all the new information that the Lord had given them, they took off on their trip and followed the star. They went to Bethlehem, and they found Christ Jesus. And lastly, what do you give at this time of the year? Your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what you give. See, the Bible says it is better to give than to receive. There's a lot of people, though, that expect things to be given to them. And you know what? You can have everything given to you in the world, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have nothing. You're not going to have real peace. You're not going to have real enthusiasm. But I tell you this, too. People who give are people that are the happiest. You ever notice that? I've seen people who didn't have hardly a thing to their name, but they looked around and with love in their heart, they found something they could give to somebody else, and they gave it graciously. They didn't give it grudgingly, and they didn't hesitate, but with the joy and the love of the Lord in their heart, they gave what little they had because they had love in themselves. And I've seen a lot of people who gave, and they were the most bubbly people in the world. I tell you what, I wish, I've said this time and time again, I wish I had all the money and the resources available, because you know what I would do if I had all that? I seriously would. I would go build little houses affordable enough that to get people off of the streets. I would give of my time to make sure that the homeless had a warm bed to lay their heads down on at night, that they had food to eat, but most importantly, that they had a Bible and that they were being told about Jesus Christ. When the wise men came to Jesus bearing gifts, they brought the appropriate gifts. They gave gold, which was a gift for a king. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. By giving it, they acknowledged that Jesus was and is king. They also gave frankincense, which was a gift for a priest. The incense was used by the priests in the temple. And then they gave myrrh, and myrrh was something, it was a fragrant ointment that was used to anoint a body before burial. And this is why they gave Jesus the myrrh, because they had acknowledged that Jesus, they knew he came to die on the cross. So they brought him the gift of myrrh then, because they knew he would give his life and that he would be buried and on the third day rise from the dead by God's power. We as Christian people should give the appropriate gifts this Christmas season. I'm not talking about material gifts. I'm talking about, most importantly, the love of Jesus. We ought to give kindness and love to our friends and family. We ought to give gifts that help those who are hurting. We ought to give gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt us. If we give these kind of gifts this Christmas season, it will be the most joyous and meaningful time of our life. So, there are a lot of people out there this Christmas season that right now they're going through difficult times. And it's time, if we know who they are, then it's time for us to look deep within ourselves, and it's time to forget about ourselves, and it's time to clothe ourselves with humility and love and kindness, and it's time to clothe ourselves with that nurturing spirit, and we should go to the people who have maybe done us wrong and say, look, I know there is a spat or a dispute between us. I know something maybe happened years ago, but I want to let you know that I'm sorry. I want to share this with you, then I'll close. Earlier this year, a good friend of mine said something, and it really hurt me. I mean, it was bad. Well, you'd think of me being a preacher and a good Christian and stuff that I just let it roll off my back, because I've been called pretty bad things before, and I've walked away, but this was a good friend of mine. And I was deeply hurt, and I got so angered, and I got onto a grudge wagon. I held on to that grudge wagon. I rode that grudge wagon, and I held on to that unforgiveness, not realizing that all these months down the road, how it was a weed growing inside of my heart, choking the life out of me. And finally, just a couple months ago, I was sitting in the Sam's parking lot before I went in to go get some of our groceries we needed. And I was sitting there wondering why my heart felt so empty, why it was so disturbed. And this is what the Lord showed me. The Lord said, I want you to call your friend, and I want you to apologize. And I was thinking, but I wasn't in the wrong. Well, I was in the wrong for holding the unforgiveness and holding the grudge. So I got on the phone and I called my friend. Well, I'd blocked his number. I didn't want him to reach. I blocked him on Facebook, everything. I like a little 5-year-old. I acted. And I let that fester. But I called him. I prayed first. And I called him. I said, hey. I said, I want to let you know something. I said, I've been holding a grudge against you for quite some time now. And I've had a lot of unforgiveness toward you. And the bad thing about it was his mom had died just a few weeks before. And he'd been going through a troublesome time. Because he took care of his mom like I took care of mine. And I said, Sean, I want you to know I'm sorry. And you know what his words were to me? I didn't even realize you were upset with me. He said, whatever it was I said, he goes, I'm sorry, Jim. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I said, it's all right. I forgive you, Sean. I said, I'm sorry, Sean, for what I did, and I hope that you'll forgive me. And Sean said, I forgive you. And just like that, God restored. And you know what? From that day forward now, I've had more joy in my heart because I've got let go of the unforgiveness. And I'm telling you, unforgiveness, it'll choke the life out of you and it will choke the joy right out of you. And it'll make you a bitter person. But whom do you seek this Christmas season? Whom do you seek? I hope you're going to seek the Lord. And I hope that you seek the ways of the Lord because that's what He wants. And if you do, you'll have real joy.